Okay, so basically we want to continue trying to learn some of the yesodos of the Masorah. Right, so we did a lot of the Mishneh Torah. So since we've had a break for a long time, I figured we'd look at the Hakdama to the Mishnah of the Rambam. Right, there's a lot of fundamentals there. So I figure we could start from the beginning. Some of the stuff is very similar to the Mishneh Torah, and then there's aspects of it which are where there's certain unique insights that you can gain from the presentation here. All right? Okay. So I'll be using the Shelas edition. So you have the Kapach one, right? So Shelas is a slightly different text, but it's right, but we'll compare if there's any major differences. Okay, so let's start. All right, you ready? Okay, so we'll start from the very beginning. Okay, so he starts off. Da. So you should know. Ki kol mitzvah shenasan Hashem leMoshe Rabbeinu. So every mitzvah that Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, nitna lo im perusha. So it was given with its perush. So we'd already see the. It seems to be a recurring theme here in the Rambam's Hakdamos, right? So every mitzvah was given with its perush. So does yours say mitzvah? Does yours say every mitzvah was given with its perush? Okay. So Hashem omer lo hamikra, va'achar kach omer lo perusho. So Hashem would tell him the mikra, and then he would tell him its perush, v'inyano. Okay, umashikol zeh mikra mechukam. Whatever this mikra hamechukam included, right? So, does yours say mikra or does it say mitzvah?
It says v'oro instead of it says perusho v'oro. Mekol mashikol lo zeh mikra hamechukam.
Right, but it says omer lo hamikra v'achkach lo omer lo perusho.
Yeah.
Okay, so it also has a mikra. Okay, so right, so basically he's distinguishing between these two things. Okay, so we'll go on. V'haya toar limud al Yisrael kamosha saper lecha. So this is the description of how it was taught to the Jewish people. Hayabala ohalo. So Moshe would come to his tent. V'nichnas elav tichila aharon. So first Aaron would come in. So v'haya kore lo amikra hanasun lo pamachas. So he would read him the mikra that was given to him one time. Umelamdo perusho, and he would teach him its perush. Acharkach, mistalik aharon. So then Aaron would leave. V'chozer liyamin Moshe Rabbeinu. So he would go to the right of Moshe. V'nichnasam acharechein Elazar v'Yisam Arbana. V'kari Moshe gam lehem k'moshe kar le'aron. So then Elazar and Yisam would come in, and Moshe would do the same thing with them. V'acharkach mistalikim shnehem. V'chozer echad mehem l'smol Moshe Rabbeinu v'asheni liyamin aron. So then they would move to the side, one to the right and one to the left. Then the 70 elders would come in. And Moshe would teach them the same way. Then the whole people came in. It must have been a big tent. So, kol mavakesh Hashem. Anybody who sought Hashem. V'kore gam lehem. And he read to them also. Ad sheyishma'u akol mimenu. Until they heard everything from him. Nimtza Aharon shomea mikra zeh arba piyamim memoshe. So Aharon heard it four times from Moshe. Ushnei banav shomim oso mimenu sholosh pamim. Vazakenim pamayim. Sharam pamachas. Right, so his sons would hear it three times. The zakenim twice from Moshe. And the people heard it once directly from Moshe. Achkach mesalik Moshe mehem. So Moshe would go on his way. V'chozer Aharon v'kori zeh mikra asher lamed al peh asher shomo memoshe arba piyamim. And then Aaron would teach it. Then Aaron would leave. So then his sons already heard it four times. In other words, three from Moshe, once from Aaron. So then they would basically the same thing. They would also teach it. And then they would leave. So then the Shivim Zakenim, they heard it, the Mikra, four times. Also, twice from Moshe, once from Aaron, once from Elazar and Isamar. So The chozrim gam shevim zakenim achareichin v'korim zem mikra lehamon piyamachas. So then the shevim zakenim would do the same thing, and they would say to the people. So then the people also heard it four times, once from Moshe, once from Aaron, once from his sons, and once from the shevim zakenim. Okay. So, okay. So we'll finish off. Achkach yafutzu am lelamed ketasim leketasim mashashamu min hashaliach. So then the people would spread out to teach each other what they had heard from the messenger. So in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu. V'yichtavu ha-mikra b'megillos. And they would write the mikra in little scrolls, right? In scrolls. V'yafutsu, so obviously, obviously they did not get the whole entire Chamish v'chamishei Torah right away, right? That wouldn't be possible until the day that Moshe dies, right? So v'yafutsu roshei ha'am b'chol Yisrael l'lamed l'shanein. So then the heads of the people go out to teach. Ad asher yedu al peh zeh mikra, until they knew the mikra by heart, right? So they v'yadaktiku b'kriyaso, and they would be very precise in its reading. So I remember Kapach has an interesting thing.
But,
the Kabbalah says Vyaskilu b'kriyaso, right? So which I think, in other words, what they were doing with each other, they weren't just learning how to, right? They weren't just practicing laning with each other, right? In other words, there was an understanding that they were gaining through the reading of this pasuk, right? Vyaskilu b'kriyaso. In other words, too often people think of Vidaktiku b'kriyaso. So were they just making sure that they said all the Shva Naz and the Shva Nachs right? Right? Or was there some sort of understanding that was going on? So I think from Kapach's way of translating it, it seems clearer the idea that it was a certain type of understanding of the Pasuk that they were trying to gain. So this also points to the idea that there's a separate limud of the Pasuk, in other words, there's a Kriya Psukim. And then there's the understanding of the Perush of the Psukim. But there is an understanding of the Pasuk in and of itself. Right? What exactly he's saying that is not so clear here, but it seems he's alluding to that fact, that there's a understanding of the Pasuk, and V'achar kach ilamdu gam Perush zeh ha-mikra. Then they would also teach the Perush of the Mikra. Hanasun me'es Hashem, that was given from Hashem. V'zeh Perush klalei inyanim. So, okay. And they would write down the mikra, and they would teach al peh the tradition on that pasuk, right? So it's interesting that they would specifically, as he comes back again to this idea, they would write this down, and they would learn this bal peh. It's interesting. Also, he mentions that the mikra, they would go over the pasuk so many times that they knew it by heart. Right. I said, what was that? He says, v'zochrim ha-kabbalah b'peh. Right, so this one, it's interesting. In this case, when it comes to Torah Shebal Peh, the Kapach uses the verb zochrim, which seems to move away from the idea of Havana. Right, whereas in the Sheilah it says, v'lomdim al peh ha-kabbalah. They would learn al peh the Kabbalah. So it's interesting. In Shelas, his translation about the learning of the pasuk vidaktiku b'kriyaso, it's not so clear that it's an idea of havana. And in Kapach, it's clear. It's when it comes to Torah Shebal Peh, it's not so. He uses a verb that's not clear that it's talking about understanding v'zochrim, like they would say the right. But here I think v'lomdim al peh kabbalah. In other words, they would learn it. In other words, there was an understanding that they were gaining from the Torah Shebal Peh. It's not just a reciting of memorized facts. Right? There's some sort of understanding going on. Okay, the Chachamim and the Chachamim Aleihem Shalom Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. All right, this is what the Chachamim say: Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. V'amru Aleihem Shalom. Bebraisa v'daber Hashem el Moshe b'Har Sinai Maltam Aloma b'Har Sinai. So as God said to Moshe on Har Sinai, what is the teaching us to say on Har Sinai? V'lo kol Torah kula nemar b'Sinai, right? Isn't the whole Torah b'Sinai? Olam Elcha, to tell you, Ma Shemitah Nemer Chol Seu Pratos Evedik Dukab Sinai. So just like Shemitah, all of the details were taught on Sinai. Avkola mitzvos nemru kol seyem pratosei nevedik dukeyem mesinai. So all the mitzvos, right? So the all the details were said on Sinai, right? So obviously this I think you would have to look at this as a smachta, as a memory device, because by Shemitah, whereas even though the Torah is very detailed in its discussion of Shemitah, that's still Torah Shebichsav, right? So they're not writing down Torah Shebal Peh there. Right? But it's saying, and it's just like there's a very detailed treatment of the subject by Shemitah, so too, every area had a detailed treatment, even if it's not written down. But obviously there's more, even by Shemitah, there's Torah Shebal Peh. It's not like all the Torah Shebal Peh was written down by Shemitah, right? So, okay, so now, so we'll read the next paragraph, and then we'll go back and we'll discuss. Right, so because the next point is very important. Okay, so he says l'mashal, for example. Right, we have to have the example, otherwise the whole thing will be lost. Omer l'chal, so Shashem Amar lo. So I'll give you an example. So Hashem would say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Basukos teshivu shivas yamim. You should dwell in Sukkos for 7 days. Va'achar kach hodio yisala. Then God would tell him. That this sukkah is a, in other words, this is something for that, what do you call it, men are required to do, but not women. And sick people are not chayav in it, and neither are people who are walking on the way, in other words, people on a trip. And tzchach can only be from something that grows from the ground. Lo tesukach, lo b'tzemer v'lo b'meshi, right? So it also tells you what you can't use as schach, v'lo v'chelim afilu b'mashat zomeachin, right? So other things you can't use, kamachat salos, v'begadim, v'chila v'ashasiyah, v'ashena, yihu ba kol shevas ayamim, and also you have to eat and drink and sleep there all 7 days. V'lo yihia b'chalala pachos m'shivat v'acham orech al shivat v'acham rochav, right? And the area has to be 7x7 t'vachim. It can't be shorter than 10 tefachim. So when Moshe Rabbeinu would come along, so this mitzvah was given to him and the perish. So it seems like almost mitzvah and mikra are almost interchangeable here, right? So I think there, does he say mikra every time or mitzvah? He says mikra a lot, right? B'kach sheish miyos v'shalosh v'say mitzvos. So to all 613 mitzvos, hein uperusha, them and their perish. Hamikros kesuvim megillos, so the right, so the mikros would be written down in scrolls. Va perush nimsar al peh, and the perish was handed down by an oral transmission, right?
He uses mitzvah.
Historically, this is written before the yad, right? The yad was written later. Right? So, okay. I mean, right, it's true. One thing we see, in other words, the similarity between the Mishnah Torah and here, it seems that it's fundamental to the Rambam's understanding of Torah Shebal Peh. Or it seems the first thing that a person must do is have a very precise distinction between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. And if you don't make that distinction and have that concept clear, then you're basically, you basically can't go anywhere. Right? In other words, There'll be no understanding of Torah Shebal Peh if you don't have that basic understanding of the relationship between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, right? So of course, you know, we discussed that at great length when we were learning the Mishnah Torah, the Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah. All right, so that's definitely a question. In other words, what's the whole story in the beginning. So what's the purpose of that? All right? So why is it... It seems that there was a... this is not something that's recorded in Torah Shebichsav. Right? This is also seems to be a Masorah from Torah Shebal Peh, that this was the way that the Torah was given over. It seems that there's something very important about giving it over in this way. Right? That specifically the first group would hear it... That everybody would hear it four times. Right? So they wouldn't hear it four times from the same person, but everybody would hear it four times. But you also see there's another interesting thing, right? That not only did everyone hear it four times, everyone also taught it, right? In other words, only Moshe Rabbeinu taught it four times, though, right? Everyone else taught it once, right? So it seems, in other words, basically what happened here. So there are four groups of individuals. You have Aaron, he seems to be, right, the first. Then you have his sons, and then you have the Shivim Zakenim, and then you have the people, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu teaches it four times. The people learn it four times, but not all from Moshe Rabbeinu, but everyone teaches it. You know, it's even the people. Because what do they do? It seems fun. In other words, this seems to be a fundamental part of the story. They would hear the Mikra and the Perush, and then they would go home, and they would write it down in Megillos, and then they would teach it to each other. Right? So it seems that it's fundamental. Of course, what do we see here? In other words, both parts of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah are being represented here. In other words, Lilmod Ulamed. Right? It seems that that's fundamental. In other words, even at the very inception of the Mesorah, there was an idea of Lilmod Ulamed was worked into the transmission of the Torah. Yeah. Right? Interesting. That's an interesting question. In other words, if they were just repeating what they heard, so then what's to learn? In other words, were they all giving identical shiurim? Right? So it seems that you would have to say, in other words, there was something that had to be understood here. In other words, this is a subject matter that can be understood on different levels. So it seemed that this was not just a repetition of a verbatim repetition of a shiur that they heard. Like it's not that they just memorized the shiur and then they would give it over. In other words, what were they doing when they go back to their tents? There was an attempt to understand. In other words, we're speaking very simple terms here, right? Without having to go into exact examples, right? But it seems that there had to be this element of understanding, of havana. In other words, without that, basically would not be a reception of Torah Shebaal Peh. That would just be, remember, in other words, what this is not, just a memorization. Right? This is more than memorization. Right? That's why I think it makes more sense what Sheila says, Vilomdim al Peh Kabbalah. They would learn al Peh, the Kabbalah. Not that they would, not Vizokrim, right? So, right. I guess we don't know Arabic, so it's hard to know what's more correct. But we can just go, Misvara Vilomdim seems to make more sense, right? So they would learn the Torah Shebaal Peh. So that seems to be at least something we could gather from this story. In other words, there are certain details of the story which are going to be very hard to give an account of to be able to explain. But at least that seems to be, in other words, that seems to be something that you could definitely gather from the story. This idea that there was the reception of Torah Shebaal Peh demanded demanded these two things. In other words, Lilmod Ulamed, Ulahavin, right? In other words, there had to be, they would learn it, they would teach it, and in the teaching of it, there was an attempt to gain a deeper understanding. In other words, this is a subject matter. This is something that could be, this is something to be understood, right? This is not just a thing to memorize. It's also interesting to note that also at the very inception of the system, it had to have both elements. It had to have Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. In other words, the very idea of mitzvah demanded Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, right? Whereas, as opposed to say that Torah Shebichsav is something that emerged at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, he wrote down Torah Shebichsav, and then we connect the mitzvos back. It seems that in each mitzvah, each mitzvah that was given, it had to have both elements. It seems that's why they had to write it down. Or it didn't seem that that was just like optional. They could write it down if they want to help them remember it. That seems to be a very a fundamental part of the process of the limud, that they had to write it down and learn it, meaning bal peh. There had to be an element of Torah Shebichsav present, right? Which reflects on the importance of Torah Shebichsav, right? Right, that's an excellent point, right? Right, the way that it's given over, you see, it's not. I mean, the way that many people learn Torah today, it's sort of a whole. What's the sort of like conglomerate of material that has no systematicity to it? But it seems that it was a fundamental part of the system that had to be systematic. In other words, you have Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaalpeh. In other words, everything is categorized and organized under these larger headings, right? That's also interesting. In other words, is this going against the idea, in other words, that you have three parts to your limud? In other words, you have Torah Shebichsav, Mikra, you know, Shlish b'Mikra, Shlish b'Mishnah, and Shlish, you know, b'Talmud, right? So, but it seems that these parts of Talmud Torah were meshed together. In other words, there wasn't. Although at the same time, you could say, in a sense, they're meshed together. In another sense, they are discrete. It's because what do they do first? First, they did the mikra, right? Then they did the. In other words, then there was the Torah Shebaalpeh. But of course, in other words, when they're learning Torah Shebichsav, there's a limud of Torah Shebichsav. When you're learning Torah Shebaalpeh, though. The Torah Shebaalpeh has to be connected back to Torah Shebichsav because it's a perish, right? So even though it's a discrete learning, it's really a separate kind of limud from Torah Shebichsav, but it still has to be connected to Torah Shebichsav, right? It has to be rooted in it, but there's still a separate learning. In other words, so you have separate shlish for each one, and it has to be connected, right? Whereas that's the idea about yaskilu b'kriyaso. In other words, there was a certain understanding that they gained just from the kriya of Torah Shebichsav. Then they would go to, then when they would work on their Torah Shebaalpeh, of course, that Torah Shebaalpeh was a perush of that mikra. Right? Of course, you see, it wasn't as, in other words, today, very often, you know, you'll have one shlish, you'll be doing Torah Shebichsav, and not necessarily is the Torah Shebichsav shlish related to the shlish that you're going to be doing in Torah Shebaalpeh, right? But maybe this is, maybe that would be something useful to do. In other words, the area that you know you're going to be doing in Torah Shebaalpeh, do the kriya in Torah Shebichsav during your shlish of Torah Shebichsav. There's no, in other words, that say that you can't do that. It would seem to make sense, even, right? Right here it seems to be suggesting it's a real, say, perfection in the presentation, right? So the question I think we might have talked about when we're doing in the Mishnah Torah, for this simple question: what do you need the Torah Shebichsav for? Or it seems that it's fundamental in the process of Talmud Torah that first you have this kriya of Torah Shebichsav. I mean, they wrote it down in Megillos. Right, in other words, the whole Chamisha Chumshei Torah wasn't even given yet, but in their Talmud Torah and their Limud, they had to first write it in Megillos, and then they could have their Torah Shebaalpeh Limud. Right, but there had to be that Torah Shebichsav element. In other words, what's the significance of that? Right, why is that so important? Also, it has to be written down. Right, it has to be written down, and they, or why not just memorize it? It says they did memorize it. They memorized the command, right? So why is it so important that it has to be written down? There has to be this Torah Shebichsav understanding, and then you could have the Torah Shebaalpeh. There's on one, certainly the pasuk gives a basis for the system. In other words, this is what the system is a perush. In other words, this is what discussion will be on, right? Okay. I mean, first of all, it definitely seems to have to do with the fact that the Torah Shebaalpeh is a system of perush. Or there seems to be an idea that there's that which is being there. There's there's that which the Perush is occurring to, right? So there seems to be that seems to be fundamental to the answer to this problem. In other words, that we're dealing with a Perush. Right? In other words, the system was set up as a system of Perush. And the real question becomes, in other words, what's the benefit of having a system of Perush, where you have the thing that is being Mefurash and then the Perush? In other words, certainly it gives a sense of one thing it certainly does is it makes it nicker that one is involved in understanding the Dvar Hashem. In other words, the system in its very inception, in other words, it's always nicker that what is one doing right now? In other words, what is one involved in? Is one just involved in abstract formulations of legal principles? In other words, one could know that in the back of one's mind. In other words, you could imagine such a thing of there being a Torah, just a Torah Shebal Peh. Everything's pure Torah Shebal Peh. But then it wouldn't be nicker in the very structure of the system itself that it's a system of Perush, that there's what is one trying to understand? The Dvar Hashem. How do we know the Dvar Hashem? Because of Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. Also, I think that it's also revealing, in other words, that's why there's an element of the system which is in Ksav. In other words, Ladoras. In other words, there never will be Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, there will never be such a Nevuah again. Right? In other words, it's true. You can just have a Torah Shebal Peh and say that, and say this all goes back to this. Right? But, right, so it seems that's at least a something, I think, there's probably more to it. But at least you could say, in other words, it's nicker in the system itself that this is an understanding of Dvar Hashem. Both are Dvar Hashem. In other words, that's where you run into the problem. Because Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebiksav are Dvar Hashem, right? But this is makes it the system, it's nicker that's what you are involved in. You're involved in understanding the Dvar Hashem, right? Also, it's interesting, because if you just have Torah Shebal Peh, you also have a situation where it's not clear that you have separate mitzvos. In other words, there's an idea. In other words, in Torah Shebichsav, it's clear that when you have a discrete and separate mitzvah. In other words, and then there's Perush, right? There's the Perush of that mitzvah. But in other words, what establishes it? It's also interesting, in other words, to be established as a mitzvah of Taryag, it has to be in Torah Shebichsav. Or that's a part of the requirements of being a part of the Taryag. Whereas when you just have Torah Shebal Peh, it's not, it can never be clear, in other words, that you have a distinct tzivoy. In other words, because the tzivoy, in a sense, has to be in the, meaning, in a sense, so to speak, the voice of the commander. In other words, you need a tzivoy. So the thing, when you have just Torah Shebal Peh, there's not an idea like because in a sense, if you're reporting that there was a distinct tzivoy in a certain area, in a sense, what that really is Torah Shebichsav, even if you didn't write it down. In other words, because the idea is that a distinct tzivoy is something it has to be distinct, it has to be separate, it has to be clear that it's that it was a separate tzivoy of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? But maybe I'm trying to make that clear. Right. In order to trace it back, in order to say that you're talking about a distinct mitzvah. In other words, if you're talking about the halachos of Sukkah. So how are you going to be able to say that you're just talking about a distinct mitzvah? There has to be a tzivoy. There has to be a discrete tzivoy. And that's what we have bichsav. Whereas the discrete tzivoy is what is bichsav. In other words, basukos teshvu shivas yamim. In other words, you could talk about Hilchos Sukkah, But how do you know that what you're talking about is really the Perush of the Tzivoy of Hashem of Sukkah? Right? So that's where you go back. There has to be a discreet and clear, in other words, it has to be absolutely recognizable that you're talking about a separate Tzivoy. That's why you have Basukos Teish V'Shavas Yamim, and then you have your Perushim on that. Right? But without the Tershav Echsav, you don't have mitzvos, in a sense.
That's the whole system.
Right? In other words, that's the Koveya. In other words, Tershav Echsav is Koveya mitzvos. Once you have mitzvos, then you could have Tershav Bal Peh. Right? In other words, then you could have the Perushim of those mitzvos. But without Tershav Echsav, in other words, if you just had Tershav Bal Peh, it seems that you would not have a idea of mitzvah, right? Whereas you could say that the whole system is ish mipi ish, all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? You could say that about the Tersh Bel Peh if you didn't have Tersh Bechsav. But it wouldn't be clear, in other words, you wouldn't have the idea of separate mitzvos, right? There you need the Dvar Hashem. You have to have that it's clear that we're having the Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor, right? You have a clear statement that this is the Dvar Hashem, and then, of course, all the halachos flow from that, right? It sets up the system. Well, that's the idea of a system of perish. In other words, where you have, there are roots, and then there are branches, and then there are leaves, right? Whereas everything has to go back to a source. In other words, if everything doesn't go back to a source, then it just becomes discrete discussions which have no interconnectedness, and then it loses its coherence as being a system of chachma, right? Or it just becomes separate little discussions here about that and discussions there about that, but nothing connects, and it's not chachmas Hashem anymore, right? And then it becomes an arbitrary rules which have been handed down over the ages, as opposed to it being nicker that what we're doing is we're understanding the Dvar Hashem. In other words, so one thing to show that it's an understanding of the Dvar Hashem, and also it also seems without Tersha Bechsav, there's without a representation that there's a distinct Tzivoy. In other words, that's what Tersha Bechsav does. In other words, Tersha Bechsav establishes that there is a distinct tzivoy. In order to establish that there's a distinct tzivoy, you must hear it in the voice of the commander. And that could be only be done through a document which is a recording of what the commander said. Right? In other words, otherwise it just becomes discussions. In other words, you could say the discussions began at Har Sinai, right? But it's not clear.
That's not an order.
Right. You need the tzivoy. That has to be in the voice, so to speak, of the mitzvah. Right. So to say it more singly, in other words, having Tersha Bechsav means that there's always the presence of a tzivoy. In other words, of the mitzvah. In other words, otherwise it's just history. In other words, there was once a command. Right here, it becomes an integral part of the system. So you have a tzivoy from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then you're understanding that tzivoy. Right? But this way, it always maintains that element in the system. It has to be a bichsav. In other words, that's ledoros.